Hello everybody and welcome to this live session. It has just turned 5 o'clock and I've started recording the session, so if you miss out on any of this, don't worry, it will be attached to your Trello card. As you know, we have a special guest on tonight, so I hope you're excited about hearing from him. But before that, I'll just do a little bit of housekeeping. Let me just double check. And Ella's there. Nice to email with you before, Ella. Pleased to see you on board. And hopefully you can use those links to get onto the Facebook group and that's all successful. So first of all, let's go to share screen. And I've got the Trello board up in front of us. Here is today's card. And we'll just scroll through to the agenda items. So I'm just going to take a couple of minutes to go through these and then we'll get straight to Charles Cobes. First thing is the infection control page content. Last time I mentioned that even though in the past I haven't seen it necessary to have an infection control page on your website, I think given the current circumstances, it makes sense. Everybody's more aware around transmission of virus and disease, and having a dedicated page on your website explaining what you do and reassuring patients, I think is a good move. And so you'll see here, I have added a card for this, and so I'll just click on that card. And the card is actually found also under doing, under the doing area, so the infection control page card. And feel free just to copy and paste this into an email, send it off to your IT person, or if you're in charge of your website, just copy and paste it and send and post it up on your website. Taking the appropriate infection control measures is crucial when providing our patients with dental care. Every team member is trained in sterilization, disinfection, and infection control. Our processes adhere to the strict protocols of the following, and then it lists the four main, or the four documents that we need to adhere to as dental practices. So you, most of these have a downloadable PDF. You can post those, embed those into your infection control page, and I've added the PDFs here under attachments for you as well. The one that you can't do that with is the Australian Standards, the 4815 document. That's that really enormous document. And if you haven't got one on site or as a PDF version that you've purchased in the past, you can't get, I've tried to get free versions and you can't. And if you scroll down that card a little bit more, I have provided a link there that you can purchase this document. It is a good idea to have one on site. You are required to have one on site or on a purchase version somewhere, or a PDF version, even within your computer. You could add it to your Evernote. And the PDF version is only $135, so it's not a huge investment. So go to that site that I've indicated there and purchase it for your practice. Also, to make that page more engaging and appealing and to give the patients even more confidence in what you do, I would look at either adding images of your team actively processing instruments, or a picture of your steri room and your autoclave, or even a video of one of your team members or yourself just reassuring patients. We know that this is a concern. Just to reassure you, we've always had fantastic infection control procedures within dental practices in Australia, and you need not fear. They have improved since the COVID-19 situation. So please have a look through the documentation if you would like, and let us know if you have any questions. And I've added that at the end here of the content to add up into your website. If you have any questions about infection control at our practice, we encourage you to speak with any of our team at your next visit. We would be happy to show you what we do to make your environment and that of our team safe. And so you've got nothing to hide, you've got everything to show off, and it may just take that additional step in reassuring patients more so when they visit your website over other people's website that you're a safer place to go. So feel free to, as I say, utilize all that information there. Going back to today's card, the other thing that I mentioned last time was the script for receptionists when they're booking in patients during this COVID-19 situation. Keep in mind, we can go nuts on treatment as long as we're only seeing healthy patients. We only want to see low-risk patients. We don't want to let anybody in the surgery who have medium or high risk, because then we may have to go through much greater, far greater additional methods of sterilization, disinfection, and environment control. So we're just seeing healthy patients. I've now added a card for this script as well that you might want to download and hand to your receptionist if she would like that kind of guidance. So clicking on that. And it is wordy. It needs to be wordy. It's temporary, this sort of conversation. But this is what's going to ensure you are seeing low-risk patients and therefore your team can just use standard PPE. It goes through the questions. I beg your pardon, that's the wrong card. Here's the script here. It goes through, now that we have made your appointment time, I will go through a few points given the current COVID-19 situation. I think sometimes when you announce it's going to be a bit of information, the listener on the other end is a little bit more relaxed about just sitting through that process. Do you have any symptoms of illness or high temperature? Do you live with someone who is experiencing symptoms of illness? Have you flown in an aeroplane over the past 21 days? Have you been in contact with anyone diagnosed with COVID-19? When you arrive at your appointment time, we ask that you call us from the car park. We will then let you know whether to come straight in or wait until we come and get you from your car. This is to reduce the number of people in our waiting room. When you do come in, there will be hand sanitizer at the front, if you wouldn't mind using it. Again, to reduce the number of people in the practice, we ask that you come in for your appointment time alone, or if it's with a child, if it's for your child, and just with one additional adult. Thanks so much for helping us in this way. We really look forward to seeing you. So making sure that there is a very friendly tone, not a commanding, fearful tone. This is just routine, just simple routine. We're not freaking anybody out about coming to the dental practice. We want to encourage those healthy patients to come on in and continue on with their treatments. So there is under the doing column, I've left their COVID-19 level one operation card there under the doing column. That's still in action of what we're doing at the moment. And in case you haven't implemented those processes, then go ahead and do it. The final thing I wanted to quickly mention before we bring Charles on board is, first of all, make sure there's no questions or anything, no questions as yet, is the marketing card within our to-do list. So thank you, George, so much for adding a card around marketing and asking for a few ideas on how we can market to bring families into the practice. We are going to spend a longer session on this in a future live session, but just to give you an example of how interactive Trello can be and how you can gain assistance from me and from the group immediately, when George added this information onto the Trello board, I got a notification straight away. I straight away put up, or the following day it was, I put up a couple of great ideas about how to attract families into your dental practice. I added another one just earlier because I was at my daily walk before and another idea popped into my head. And so I put that in there as well. And because George has added himself as a member to this card, whatever I add to it or anybody else adds to it, he will get a notification both on his Trello app on his phone and an email indication on his in his email inbox. So if you have any areas that you want real quick help with, just throw it in there under the to-do. You go scroll down, add another card, put your query in there, add yourself as a member. The easiest way to add yourself as a member is to actually get out of the card, hover over the card, and just hit the space bar on your keyboard, and you'll be added to the card straight away. And then you'll get notifications when anybody else adds some information there to help and assist and guide you. Okay, so as you know, I love doing this. I have ticked off infection control from the agenda. I have ticked off the script for receptionists, and I've ticked off marketing. So we've got one glorious thing left in our meeting agenda for today. And we've now got Constantine, you're here as well, and Elle and Ella, all three of you are here as well. So I'm so thrilled to be able to include you all in the discussions. Feel free to add whatever questions throughout. I'll be monitoring any questions for Charles and interrupting him throughout to ask any questions that you do have. But Charles is, as you know, the co-founder of JPPS. I'm just going to stop sharing the screen here. And he is also Australasia's passion provocateur. I'll let him tell you a little bit more about him. He's recently launched a podcast, which a lot of people are finding enormously insightful. And I certainly used one of his insights in a past podcast in my blog today, if anybody had the chance to read it. But he's going to be talking to us about how to get more excited about the current situation that we're in and getting back to work. And so Charles is no longer muted. Have you got your video capability on there, Charles, or do I need to allow that?
You have to allow it.
Oh, I beg your pardon. If I make you co-host, I wonder if that allows your video.
Yes, it will.
Yeah, beautiful.
We think.
There we go. Fantastic. Welcome, Charles. Welcome, Charles. And if members out there, if you wanted to see both of us, I think if you go to gallery view, otherwise, if you'd like Charles to take up your screen like I normally like, then go to speaker view. But welcome, Charles, to our COVID-19 group coaching program.
Thank you, Julie, and hello, everybody. Good to be with you. The topic that I'm talking about is mindset, not concrete set, not amalgam set, mindset. And I've been thinking about what I would share with you. And just before this session, I had a phone call from a lawyer who I've known for many years. And he rang me to compliment me on the Charles Covess show. And it was, he said to me, and this lawyer is 73 years of age, and he said, "Oh yes, I read that book that you talked about and I did this, and what you said was fantastic and it reminded me." So these coaching sessions, these group sessions, these opportunities to learn, you start to go, well, what is the essence of learning? And the fact that you're involved in this process, that shows a desire to learn. And people say they want to learn. And one of the core mindsets to explore is, do you actually want to learn? Or do you just want to learn enough stuff so that you can get through this new set of circumstances? And so this desire, is it a real desire inside you to learn? So that's the first question. And then like my lawyer friend, you know, we think we know stuff, but a great quote is from Star Wars, I think episode 2, the original second, when Yoda, I think, came out with that wonderful quote, and he said, "To know and not do is to not know. To know and not do is to not know." And many times as a speaker, I've been a speaker now for 27 years, I've been a businessman for, gosh, you know, from the age of 12, and I'm now 67. So what's that, Julie? 55 years I've been in business. I was a commissioned debt collector at the age of 12. But really probably if I started at 17, good, I've had 50 years of business. And people, they say, "Yeah, I know that stuff. Tell me something new." Well, why aren't you doing what you know? And so that's my first question to you. Are you doing what you know? Let me give you an example. Getting fit and burning fat. I don't talk about losing weight necessarily. I talk about burning fat. If you've got more fat than you want, do you know how to get rid of it? Of course you do. And if you're not as fit as you want to be, do you know how to get fit? Of course you do. And so because we know something, but we don't do it, it actually means we don't know it. Because if we knew it, it would be in our core. And so that's this question of mindset. I just really want to remind you of this need to constantly be looking at your mindset. When you get up in the morning, how are you going to set a mindset that is going to help you have the life, to experience the life that you want to create. Now, I am Australasia's passion provocateur. And some of you may have received a bookmark from me over the years, but I take you through a structured process on mindset, which is going to use my bookmark. And if you don't have one of these bookmarks, put it on the Trello card and then Julie will get one to you. Before I take you through those steps on that book card, I want you to picture a spectrum of choices that you have to make and think about, why do you do what you do? So if you're not burning fat or not as fit as you want to be, what are you doing that stops you doing that? Some people have said to me, they don't have time to get fit. And my guarantee to you is that every hour that you exercise gives you 2 hours of productivity over the course of a week. And so you are gaining an hour. I will put that in writing for you. I will guarantee you, I'll give you $1,000 guarantee that if you do that and you did it honestly, you would gain time. It wouldn't cost you time. So this question of I don't have the time to do it, to get fit, is not true. And the second, that I don't have the time to burn fat, well, you obviously know that that's not true. So what is it that makes you take the actions that you do? The answer is your thoughts. You are on this call or watching this recording, you have decided to be here. And broadly, on a spectrum, you have two types of thoughts that will drive your actions. On the I don't know how this looks to you, Julie. This is my right hand. Does it look like my left hand? I think it does.
Well, looking at it, it looks like for us that you're at a starting point. So it's at my left. So it's perfect.
It's my right hand. Anyway. That's my right hand. So anyway, it gets so confusing, all these mirror images. So on the one hand, you have what I call SI thoughts. At the other, you have SH thoughts. SI stands for Steve Irwin thoughts. So if you wake up in the morning with Steve Irwin thoughts, the crocodile man who died in 2004, amazingly passionate man, and his mindset meant that he took certain actions that made him a global hero. And when he died, 300 million people were allegedly upset that he died. And when he would wake up in the morning, so what sort of mindset would he have? Well, you know, he's living this amazing life. He has this amazing SI, Steve Irwin type mindset where he just does amazing things. The other end of the spectrum is SH, which stands for shitty. And you have shitty thoughts when you wake up in the morning, a shitty mindset, and you won't take inspirational, passionate actions. You'll take shitty actions. And the question when you wake up in the morning is on this spectrum, and it's not, you know, totally SH, totally SI, but your awareness around where your mind is when you wake up in the morning and for the whole of your day is a crucial element in the types of actions that you take. And so being aware of this, you can embrace this principle of guarding my thoughts. Guard your thoughts. I urge you to guard your thoughts. And what that means is be aware, are you slipping to shitty thoughts or inspirational Steve Irwin type thoughts? and then start to contemplate, why am I slipping to the shitty side rather than the inspired side? What is going on? And the guarding of the thoughts is to then give yourself a wake up call, if you like, a poke, and says, well, what am I thinking? What is consuming my conscious thoughts? Where are those thoughts coming from? Coming from your subconscious, but what am I allowing to come into my conscious awareness so that I'm in this disempowered, ineffective, non-inspired state? And I put to you that it's because you have not been guarding your thoughts, and you have started to allow your mind to focus on what is bad. Good versus bad. What I call benefits and drawbacks. In every situation that we're in, there are benefits and drawbacks. And the guarding your thoughts idea is to constantly be aware that it doesn't matter what you are doing, there are drawbacks to every situation that we are in. There's drawbacks to being a dentist. There's drawbacks to patients. There's drawbacks to no patients. There's drawbacks to lots of patients. Imagine this constant stress, constant all day rush. There's drawbacks to it. So how many times did you think last year, gosh, I wish it were quieter? Now all your wishes have come true. And so the guarding of the thoughts, when you have this framework in your mind, you've got a spectrum out of which you can choose your mindset, knowing that there's drawbacks in every circumstance. If you don't guard your thoughts, it's so easy to slip into thinking about what's not great, rather than thinking about what is great, rather than, Julie, you talk a lot about this, about what I should be grateful for. And so knowing, this is the same process, by the way, this is a mental process, we're talking about mindset here, this is the same process about doing your exercise. I don't feel like doing my exercise, so I don't do it. I don't feel like guarding my thoughts, so I won't do it. I'm upset about something and I'm going to stay upset. I'm going to stay in there. So it's a mental process, and the starting point is to be aware of what you can do, what will help you have a mindset that will be empowering for you. And then you have to make this decision. I want to do that, like burning fat, like getting fit, and then understanding, why don't I do it? Why do I allow my thoughts to be shitty thoughts? Now, shitty is not a swear word, and most dental practices, you deal with pretty shitty stuff, far worse than shit. So I'm hoping no one will be offended, Julie. Is that fair enough?
It's fair enough. I think we use the shitty word and beyond in dental practices, given the level of stress going on at any particular time.
Yeah, and by the way, if there's any questions that come up in the chat, please let me know just as we're going, so because I want to answer them before we finish this session.
I'm keeping my eye on it, so do interrupt as often as you like. Elle has said, don't worry, I love your shitty words.
Thank you. So coming back to know and not do is to not know. So the question around self-awareness is, why aren't I guarding my thoughts? So if I guard my thoughts, then I'm thinking about what's wonderful in my life. I feel terrific. I feel like Steve Irwin at this end of the spectrum, not this end. So when it doesn't matter what happens to me at work, in the practice, bang, I feel terrific. Someone yells at me, screams, doesn't matter. It's off my back like water off a duck's back. So So the process that I'm going to recommend to you is one that I developed over the last 27 years. And this is the ways that you can develop your mental, your physical, your spiritual sets, your physical set, your spiritual set, your mindset. But let's focus on the mind, knowing that it applies to the other elements. So I will share my screen. And you can see that, I trust, Julie.
Yes, absolutely.
Nice and bright, huh?
Nice, I like it.
Nice. So I thought it would go well with my blue t-shirt today. Normally I'd be wearing my red jacket, but I thought we're in Australia, so I've got a white screen, red card, blue t-shirt, colours of Australia. Red, white and blue. All right. So how do we help ourselves have the mindset so we're guarding our thoughts? And my suggestion is that you embrace these strategies for passionate performance in your life. Now, you'll notice the word passion there in white beside the eight. Passion did not eight performance, but there you are. There's a nice variation. There's a nice play on words as well with passion, which is pass I on. So when you are passionate, you are passing yourself on to others, because they're really getting the full breadth of the full experience of who you are compared to someone who is not passionate. So there you are, you can think about that in your life. Now, these seven strategies, you'll see, look at this on the acronym of passion. I should go, I wonder if I can make that a bit smaller. Look up, I'm sure I can. Look at that. Passion. The beauty of this, the reason why acronyms work, and I hope you use them in your practice, Julie, I don't know if you've been doing that, but acronyms and songs are a great way to learn sets of principles. So passion is the acronym. And so if you use this acronym, this will, I'm going to explain the seven elements of it, but this will give you a framework for thinking to go, okay, I'm not doing the second S. That's why I'm in a poor mindset. That's what this tool is designed to do. And as I say, you can have an email of this, or you can have a physical copy, so when you read books. So the first P is to prepare your goals in MBS. This has nothing to do with a Bachelor of Medical Science. I think that was what's the medical degree? Bachelor of Medical Science, MSB. Anyway, write out your goals in the areas of mind, body, and spirit. Now, again, the reason why goals are important, and Julie talks about them all the time and goal practices, but for you, we're talking about your mindset here, is when you have your goals, mental goals, your physical goals, and your spiritual goals, then when you wake up in the morning, you have clarity. And one of the great principles that in so many conversations it comes out is that clarity leads to power. So with your staff and your practice, clarity leads to power. The corollary is that confusion kills passion. You cannot be passionate about something if you're confused about it. So when I'm clear, I am empowered. When I'm clear about what I'm meant to be doing, I'm empowered. Goals give you clarity. Now, part of the problem with goals is the fear that we don't fulfill them. There are so many things to choose from, we can't choose. And that awareness around this is useful. Most people don't have a set of goals. I have them written out. I've had them written for a long time. I wake up in the morning, I'm clear what I want for my short term, my medium term, my long term goals. We could do when I do a one-day passion program, I can do a whole day of conversation around helping you write goals. Julie that can does that with practice goals. Interest. So because we're focusing on you, we're going to talk about what mental goals are, because we're talking about mindset. But mental goals, physical goals, spiritual goals. Mental goals are your skill development. What do you want to learn? I started this session with talking about having this desire to learn. What do you want to learn? In 20, do you know that if in each day you studied something for 15 minutes only, in 1 year you would have studied that topic for 90 hours, and in 2 years for 180 hours, and in that 2 years you would be, with 180 hours of study around the topic, in the top 1% in that topic in the world. In the world, like it's just 15 minutes a day. And so mental goals are learning goals, are skill goals. So they could be dentistry skills, they could be management skills, they could be negotiation skills, they could be strategic planning skills. Mental skills could be they could be planning your holiday, although that's physical. So there's not a black and white list between mental, physical, and spiritual. But one of the ways to start, if you don't have goals, if you're not clear on what you want, because remember with mindset, with goals, if you're guarding your thoughts, if you are able to bring your thinking, your conscious thinking, back to what you want and visualizing what you want, you're immediately going to feel better. Not on what you don't want, you're going to bring it back to what you do want. And this visualization experience is like reading a book. When you are engrossed in a book, when you can't put a book down, when you're reading at night, or when you're engrossed in watching stuff on Facebook and on your iPhone, we are engrossed in it. That is the visualization process. The reason why we're engrossed is because our mind doesn't know the difference between a real experience and an imagined experience. And so if you're clear on what you want because of your goals, you've prepared your goals in mental, physical, spiritual, then you can assist you to guard the process by bringing you back and saying, no, this is what I want. Don't focus on what I don't want. This applies to your physical goals as well. Now, there's a distinction in goals between wanting to achieve something, wanting to have something, wanting to acquire something, versus the process required to get that. And so I'll give you an example. Let's say your goal is to have a good relationship with your children. That's the goal. Put that down. You want a good, and that would be, would that be mental, physical, or spiritual? The answer is that would be a spiritual goal. So I'll have to get a drink of water in a moment. I forgot to bring my water. I get passionate when I'm talking. Julie,
I can take over when you get the water. That's okay.
Yeah. So the goal is I want a good relationship with my daughter. But then it gets a bit fluffy. Then you go, I failed in that goal. A more realistic goal is, my goal is to have dinner with my daughter, leave the practice on time and have dinner with my daughter 2 weeknights, two nights of the week in normal times. So I want to have dinner with her at 6:30. I'll be home. And you make that promise to your daughter, I'll be home at 6:30 to have dinner with you. The goal is not to have dinner. The goal is to have built a relationship with your daughter. Similarly with sales, if you're on the sales side, if you have to generate treatment plans, if you have to get better at delivering an outcome, that gets quite difficult. A better outcome, a better goal is to say, I will make this many phone calls each day before this particular point in time. So strictly speaking, that's a strategy, not a goal, but it doesn't matter. You know, there's nothing much rests on that. If you wake up in the morning and say, right, my goals are to have dinner with my daughter today and to make 10 follow-up phone calls to patients. That's my goal today, even though there's strategies to achieve other goals. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the first element is work on clarifying, and this is your personal power we're talking about, clarifying what you want mentally, physically, spiritually, short-term, medium-term, long-term. Within 1 year, within 10 years, well, then medium-term, but 5 years, within 1 year, 5 years, 20 years. And if you have three goals, mental three, physical three, spiritual for each of those, that will give you 27 goals. And it's really quite easy to have 27 goals in short, medium, long term. And then you carry that around in your pocket. And I carry it around in my bag. I'm physically attached to my goals so that if I'm straying, I'm able to guard my thoughts by focusing on what I'm wanting to create into my life. Now, is there a chat question there?
No, we just had that chat question was the loving of the shitty thoughts.
Right. All right.
But I did have a thought in dental practices. If I fall into calling Charles Sweetie, it's because he's also my husband, which most of you will know. But if in dental practice situations, we talk about morning huddles and the importance of morning huddles. Some practices do them and some practices don't. But for those that do them, one of the elements that I do encourage them to have is to have a focus every week or every month. I think a different focus every day. It's changing too much and it's difficult to get that done. But an example, Charles, of a focus would be, we're going to ask one patient for a Google review, a positive Google review, one patient a day, every day. And to bring that as part of our constant awareness, that could be a reminder that happens every morning huddle for a month. Maybe it will take a month to shift that from an effort-filled conscious thought to something that's constantly residing in the back of the brain. And I wonder if, with what you're talking about, trying to shift from shitty thoughts first thing in the morning when you wake up, if you are the type that has a shitty thought every morning when you wake up, I wonder if there is a way of giving yourself a little morning huddle that think, I may not remember it every single day, but my intention is every day to have that thought, to shift a shitty thought to a positive thought every single morning.
Yes, we need tools. And so this acronym of PASSION is a tool, but in the morning equivalent of the huddle, I think one of the great stories is Kathy Freeman. Do you remember what she did?
No.
Her goal was to run 48.8 or 48.7 seconds for the 400 meters of the Sydney Olympics that she won famously. But she and many sports people have written on their mirrors in lipstick what their goals are.
Maybe the men in the audience could do that.
I think so. I think that's a good idea. So on their mirror, you know, it's written there, so that's the equivalent of the huddle. We need leverage on ourselves because our minds, most of us are quite frankly not mentally strong. Less than 10% of people are able just be driven by a goal, which is to achieve a gold medal. The gold medalists in life are those who are just inspired and they're bang, they are incredibly disciplined. Most of us are not. Most of us need tools. And so give yourself that gift, you know, that hey, it's okay to rely on tools.
And I have heard of another idea of changing your password to your email account or your something that you open every day, your Facebook account, whatever. Change your password to the goal as a reminder.
Yes. Now there's another one. There's another principle that I think is probably worth tossing in here. I use it when I'm coaching people in public speaking, and I've coached people how to get better at cocktail parties. Now, in the dental profession, those of you on this on this program might be horrified to know that some dentists are not really good in social environments. And a lot of people aren't good. You know, and I like going to cocktail parties where I'm by myself because it forces me to meet new people, even though it's uncomfortable. Now, when in any environment, when you're with somebody, often the fear is, what if this person thinks I'm an idiot? And I just, in this same spectrum, if this is the sum total of all the human knowledge on the planet, the smartest person on the planet would know this much out of this much. And each one of us, we know how little we know, unless you're a total idiot and you think you know everything, who I think is an idiot. Each one of us only knows a tiny little bit. And so all of us are walking around, even in the dental space, like how much is there to know? Julie, I honor your knowledge of the dental space, but is it fair to say that you don't know everything in dentistry?
Yes, ask any dentist.
So this mindset, one of the keys is having principles where you say, I'm not going to beat myself up because I don't know something. Because the truth is that each one of us knows such a tiny, tiny fragment of what there is to know. The fact is that we're all walking around totally ignorant, except for a tiny little bit. And therefore, one of the rules is that if someone knows something that you don't know, you go, wow, isn't that interesting? That's the beauty of teams, because everybody in the team, in the practice, knows something different. But if we think we have to be the oracle of all wisdom, that puts enormous pressure on us. And then we have to pretend that we know it all. So I find this really liberating and I learned this first from Anthony DeMello, you know, each one of us is just an idiot. And when somebody criticizes you, Julian, says you're an idiot, you go, yeah, I am an idiot. I only know a little bit of stuff, but I know this bit of stuff. So it's, and like I'm talking about mindset, I know plenty about what I'm talking about with you now, but I don't know much about dentistry, I promise you. All right. So that's another reliever, because our mindset, we're not guarding our thoughts. This is one of the ways that we guard our thoughts, is you don't have to know everything, because no one knows everything. And so that takes away this pressure.
Nice.
All right, so goals give you clarity. The other thing I want to share with, I want to remind you about with power, is there are three sources of power: time, energy, and money. And energy and money you can replenish, time you cannot. So that's there are three sources of power. Clarity leads to power. So the question is, where are you devoting your energy, your money, your time? And that's the other. And when you're clear about it, bang, that becomes, you have this real ability to focus and to head towards what you want. So another good metaphor is the essence of sharpness. Try and cut a cardboard box with a spoon. Why won't the spoon cut? What is the essence of a knife? The answer is focused energy. And so you could put a sharp knife on your mirror in the bedroom, just in the bathroom. All right, you wake up in the morning, go, there's a sharp knife. What's that? The reminder to focus your sources of power. Then you get cut through. All right. Next, the A of passion is accept that you create your own unique picture of reality. So again, we're coming back to mindset. And the reason why I've got this framework is to give you this tool so you go, oh, okay, that's how I'm going to use this. What you think is realistic, what you think is truth, what you think is obvious is not so to anybody else. And we'll do another session on the conscious subconscious model of the mind. But each one of us has had a unique life experience. Each one of us has been brought up. Each one of us has been brought up in a unique way, even in the same household, and yet every household on the planet is different. And so that accumulated set of experiences is how you create your reality, so that your interpretation of what's happening is happening on inside you, but no, it's not happening to anybody else. And so this teaches you about responsibility. I'm responsible for what I'm experiencing, because what happens out there is just something that happens out there. And so, Julie, you've got a great saying around this, which is on your wall, I think, about how you, it's not what matters, it's how you respond to it.
What's Do you mind if I quickly grab it? Because it's been very powerful in my life. One second.
Yeah.
It was by Marcus Aurelius. And as we do in life, sometimes we have situations where we feel harmed and damaged. And this quote, I wanted this in front of my face. It resonated with me. So I put it on a small piece of paper and had it inside my phone. So I looked at it all the time. It was sitting on my car dashboard, and it was sitting on my computer desktop screen as well. And it's a quote by Marcus Aurelius. And when I started repeating this and feeling it every time I said it, it shifted that kind of that reality that I'd prescribed for myself out of my life. Choose not to be harmed and you won't feel harmed. Don't feel harmed and you haven't been. And that just resonated so strongly with me. Is that the quote you're talking about?
Yes. Yep. That's the quote. So that you choose, this is a choice that we make. So with your mindset, right, you can create a reality that says, doesn't matter. If somebody criticizes me, it doesn't matter. And so that's the reality that you have the ability to create. And God and the universe made us as we are. And so each one of us is raised in a unique environment with a unique set of thoughts. The second element that relates to that is your beliefs, and that's a whole session in itself. You know, Julia, we might, that's a, look, as you know, we could do a whole week on this, but the other question to become, the other issue to become aware of is, what do you believe? Because your belief will then craft, will frame whatever's happening to you. So one of the truly liberating experiences of life in mindset is to understand that you can change beliefs, and it's first you have to become aware of what your beliefs are, but you can change them. And when you change your beliefs, you change your whole experience. All right, there's a comment there on chat.
Just from Ella saying that she loved that quote and me responding back saying that it really made a difference in my life.
All right.
I will add that quote to the Trello card in case people are interested in it.
All right. So accept that you create your own unique picture of reality, and that can, you can choose to change that. You're not stuck with your past set of experiences. And then that leads to the first S, which is self-knowledge. Know yourself. Self-knowledge is the key to wisdom. So the benefit of self-knowledge, another word for self-awareness, is that you become aware of your responses, of what's going on inside your mind, and you know that you can change that, and you then go, okay, so this is how I'm responding. This is where I've come from. I'm practicing dentistry in this way. I'm practicing in this practice. And what I love about this practice is this. And what I don't like about this practice is this. And then you start to go, what is it inside? Why do I like this and don't like that? It's a bit like, why do I like cricket and I don't like football? Or why do I like football and not cricket? Or why do I like golf and not horse riding? Self-knowledge is the key to wisdom. And so the journey of life is to discover who you are so that you can be wise. And for me, wisdom is making good decisions compared to bad decisions, making the right decision compared to the wrong decision. So I urge you, as you wake up each morning in terms of mindset, you go, wow, I wonder what I'm going to discover about me today. Because every experience that we experience in the practice is an opportunity to learn, to discover something about ourselves. And when you look at experience that way, then it becomes much less traumatic when you have these experiences. When it's not traumatic, but you look on everything as a learning experience, then your mindset stays magnificent. You are in this exploring state where you go, that's interesting. I'm going broke this week. I haven't got enough patience. That's interesting. I wonder what I'm going to learn.
And it's like what you were saying earlier today, Charles, it's the attachment that we place on the result of things that often adjust our experience of it.
Yes, freedom is letting go of the attachment to results. And that's why in goal setting terms, that's why I like to say, no, have the dinner with your daughter. Don't make the result, I've got to have a good relationship with my daughter. No, choose to do that and let go of the attachment to results. Your children don't have to love you. You know, that's... I gave my children total carte blanche to do with their lives what they want. I said, my happiness does not depend on what you do with your life. Okay, the next S is stuff up. You see, what I'm talking about here is accessing your courage to take risks and make mistakes. You cannot improve without making mistakes. That's the simple proposition where running out of time, but it's the first three that I wanted to spend, in fact, the first two that I want to spend most time on. But one of the reasons why we have a poor mindset is because we're beating ourselves up. Remember, we're beating ourselves up because we didn't know something. Now we beat ourselves up because we make a mistake. And when you've beaten yourself up and you're so consumed with this mistake, how possibly can you relate to patients, to your staff, to building a practice, to achieving your goals, when you, and people beat themselves up for their whole lives about mistakes. Like they're stuck in their subconscious minds and wow. You know, and part of the journey of life is understanding, learning how to let go of that stuff and say, wow, those mistakes are how I've learnt and they are the mistakes that have made who I am. You cannot get better without making mistakes. Full stop. I defy you. In fact, I said to Julie and I were running a program for dentists in Launceston, remember? And I said, and there was a 55-year-old dentist complaining about a new dentist who wasn't doing perfect fillings. So I said to the 55-year-old, so when did you start doing perfect fillings? Do you remember his answer, Julie?
Yeah, I still don't. Always learning better ways, always having better techniques made available to you.
And because every human being that comes along, they're not standard teeth, are they? You know, here we are. Yeah. So give yourself permission. Have a framework, have a philosophy for mistakes in your own life. You know, we're talking about you personally, but these principles you'll see in a moment also apply elsewhere. So the I stands for I am unique. Be willing to be uniquely you. See, one of the things that stops you living life how you want is because you want to appeal to, you want to conform, and yet that's not who you are, and that's too big a price to pay. The O stands for your own learning, growth, and development. You're already doing that by being on this program, but I recommend that you invest five in changing times, all the time anyway, but in changing times especially, invest 5% of your time and income in your own learning, growth, and development. That's 8 hours a week. That's an hour a day. And it comes back to the goals here of mental goals. You start to go, okay, what do I want to get good at? And just imagine if you spent 8 hours a week learning in a structured way, not just goofing off watching television. Now, again, on the time question, I remind Julie, put the acronym up on the Trello of NEWSD, N-E-W-S. I do this exercise when I'm running a program, but let me assure you that all of you watching this show have at least 30, or this session, have at least 30 hours of D time, what I call discretionary time. You have vast amounts of time. And how this works is this. Let me give you an example. I work 70 hours a week right now. That's my W. N stands for necessities. I do 14 hours. I give myself 2 hours a day for necessities of life. E stands for exercise. I do 8 hours of that a week. I do almost an hour a day, and then on the weekends I do a 2 or 3 hour session. Okay, so 14 plus 8 is 22, and I work 70, that's 92, and I sleep 50 hours a week. Okay, that's 142. That still gives me 26 hours of discretionary time. Don't ever tell me you don't have time. Now, you might fall low on energy, okay? You just can't do it. That's because you haven't been looking after yourself physically. So again, I urge you to do that. So your own learning, growth, and development. Then the N for passion stands for no blame. You take responsibility. And coming back to, you create your picture of reality and your self-knowledge, you don't blame anybody for anything that happens to you. You take responsibility for your life. My promise to you is if you follow these seven elements of these seven strategies that I call strategies for passion and performance in your life, this becomes a memorable acronym, a memorable framework for helping you be in a mindset where you wake up every morning and you embrace this gift of life. You are focusing on the wonderful elements of your life. You deal with the shitty bits. You don't dwell on the shitty bits. You guard your thoughts. You feel fantastic about yourself because you are fit. You are watching your nutrition. You are healthier. You know what you want to create over the next 1 year, 5 years, 20 years. And this experience of life becomes what it's meant to be, which is a game, not a trial, the end result of which is retirement and death. That's not what I think life is about. At a practice level, here's the strategies for passion and performance in your organization. Again, with the acronym of passion, but it's different. All right. There you are. I hope that gives you some thoughts on mindset.
It certainly has. Thank you. If anyone has any comments, please send them through. You were talking before about the belief that, you know, drives reactions and behaviours and things. And it's easy to fall into that trap of believing that my day should be smooth running, to, you know, revert it back to a dental practice situation. Patients should turn up. The receptionist should be perfect on the phone. The nurse should have everything set up all the time. And we should be running to time. And all this belief that we plan for things to go through ideally throughout the day, but the reality is something different, builds up such resistance in us. And so that frustration just comes in very quickly within dental teams.
Yeah, it's good to have the frustration. The frustration's good to say, look, we're frustrated. Say, great, we're frustrated. Okay, so what's the lesson from this? Because everything has a lesson in it. And so if the purpose of life is to learn and grow, which is what I say it is, we're here as a learning and growing experience, then everything serves, even the shittiest thing that happens to us. And then when we see that's part of this experience called life, then our mindset doesn't fall off a cliff and then takes us half a day to get back to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's good. And I like that. Yeah, quick rebound. Yes,
that's the point. Yeah, because you don't want life to be like this, you know, but nor do you want it down in the dumps here for the next week because you made a mistake.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you so much. That was just glorious. And we certainly will be having additional sessions, everybody, because as you can tell, Charles has got an amazing wisdom around this space, and it's all to help us gain a happier experience, a more contented experience, a more filling experience in our life and in our lives in our dental practices. And I've been reading a book at the moment called Fix This Next by Mike, I think it's Michalowicz.
Michalowicz, yeah, good Polish name.
Oh, good. And he talks about the goals of a business. When you're a business person, that the hierarchy of needs that some people will know about with Maslow's hierarchy of needs, that's our own personal movement through life, and that we need to achieve certain elements of safety and achievement in order to progress higher up the grid. So we need to have food and water before we can start worrying about how our relationships are going. We need to have that stuff sorted before we can start worrying about self-actualization. And Mike's replication of that hierarchy pyramid for business is, I'm going to be just describing it in the article that I'm about to write for Australasian Dental Practice Magazine, but it starts off with cash. You must have cash as a business. If you don't have that, you have nothing else. And then it slowly moves up and it goes up to eventually the impact you have on the people around you and the legacy that you leave. But it's the impact portion that I have found most satisfying when I owned a dental practice and when I was managing a dental team, because I was in a position, and all you managers and owners out there are in the same position, where you have complete control over the impact that you have on the environment that you're creating for so many people. And that is a glorious and lofty goal to really think, what impact do I want on these people, on this group of people?
Beautiful.
Okay, so thank you, everybody. Thank you, Charles. You can feel free to sign out. And I'll just leave everybody with one more share screen.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. I'll see you at dinner time. And one more share screen, everybody. Let's see if it activates. There we go. Just as a quick reminder, so we've ticked Charles off the list. He's done, and hopefully we'll be coming back on board very soon with some more pearls of wisdom. I will now hover over the card, click L for label, take it off top priority because we've just done it. There we go. Click in, we've ticked that off as the due date because we've completed it. It's dragged over to complete it. I'll add the recording in there, the quote that I mentioned from Marcus Aurelius, Charles's NEWSD, N-E-W-S-D analogy as well, acronym. And our next session is coming up on Sunday. If you have anything particular that you would like discussed at the next session, please feel free to add it to the agenda. If there's nothing else added, I think we're going to be talking about resetting of goals. We've been doing a bit of work behind the scenes on that, and I think it's an important element of establishing what kind of goals do we have at this point in time and how to get back in the flow of focusing towards a common goal for the whole team. And if you haven't been able to log in to the members only group coaching Facebook chat area, please let me know. Ella, I know that we've been connecting around that, so hopefully you'll be able to jump on very soon. But that's a really great space for us to share ideas on, I'm thinking about doing this in the practice, or look at this ad, what do you think about this? And getting some feedback from each other and truly supporting each other. That looks like an awesome ad. I think it's glorious. Things like that. Thank you very much for your message there, Elle. It was our absolute pleasure to bring this one through to you. And I look forward to seeing you on Sunday for the 2 o'clock session Eastern Standard Time. At that one, and keep well, keep happy, keep good. Enjoy dinner or the afternoon for Western Australian viewers. Enjoy the rest of your day. Bye.